Hallelujah. I am honestly honored to be with you guys today. I'm so blessed to be with the body of Christ and see all my brothers and sisters around the world and how God's bringing people together. And I was thinking about, you know, if you're a Christian here today, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ and you've been born again by the Spirit of God, that means you're a king and a priest. So turn to your neighbor and say, you're a king or a queen and a priest. Amen. You know, when we understand, saints, all right, don't get carried away. When we understand that we are called to royalty, we're not to be at all reflecting the world anymore. We really should be lifting our head up in Christ and not being proud of ourselves, but being proud of what Jesus has done for us. And when you begin to walk in that concept that God has called you, actually, we're going to live and reign with Jesus Christ forever. Now, how far is that? We're going to live and reign with Jesus Christ forever. And so what a great thing if you have given your life to the Lord and now you are in the kingdom and you have eternal life. There's some here this morning, I believe, that have never done business with God like that. They know about God. In fact, there's a presence here of family and community which is very drawing. There's a love here that you have for one another. And so many of us are so unloved in this world that when you come to a church, that love itself draws you back. And the friendliness of the church draws you back. But I want to tell you something, that God has got something even greater than that. If you just simply enjoy the crowd and enjoy the other brothers and sisters, God wants you to know that He's inviting you to press into His heart and He wants you to know Him. And it'll begin to take you like a golf ball that gets hit. All of a sudden, it shifts into high gear, like a jet plane that all of a sudden comes off the ground and begins to ascend to a place that you never ascended to before. For I am concerned that we might stop at that love that just is between brother and sister, when God is inviting us to a love that loves Him and knows Him. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you know about God, but you don't really quite know what I'm talking about, today's your day. God says, don't wait for tomorrow. Today is the day that you can accept Jesus Christ in your life and you can start a journey. It's not going to stop there. It's going to take you. As our brother talked, there's a freedom and there's a liberty and there's an understanding and there's a royalty and there's a knowledge that God begins to reveal Himself. In fact, I personally believe that heaven is going to be forever and ever God revealing Himself. And it'll never stop. Amen? But it starts here. It starts here. No one gets to heaven unless the Father draws him and unless they know Jesus Christ personally. Not know of Him, but have experienced Him. So I'm just so glad to be among my kings and my queens and my priesthood here and see the call of God on your life. And just it blows me away to realize that you are going to live and reign with Him forever and ever. Isn't that cool? And you thought you just came to church. Hallelujah. So I'd like you to turn your Bibles to a couple different places. I had a handout that I gave today. If you didn't get a copy of it, and you'd like one, I don't know if they made some more. They did make some more. If you didn't get a copy of the sermon outline, just wave your hand. It'll help you later on to go back to the Bible and connect and kind of remember what the Lord was ministering to us today and kind of chew on it all week long. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You guys are not quiet. I know it. But three scriptures, maybe four, that we're going to hit today is the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 3 of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4 of Hebrews, and we're going to be in chapter 10 of Acts. So those are the three backdrops this morning where we're going to graze and fellowship this morning. Amen? So how are you guys doing? Amen. Amen. No, I know Brother Don, I know you, but I want to say, Don, I looked up in the balcony and I just saw a hand before you stood up. I saw a hand and I felt like God said, I have a word for that hand. And see, if I would have known it was you, Don, I probably wouldn't have responded. Huh? Amen. So I'm just saying, tune in. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Can we pray together? You know something about prayer, guys? You can't ask God for a BMW today. In other words, God is not Santa Claus. But when you become involved in the kingdom of God and you want what God wants, Jesus said you can ask what you will and you can have it. Come on. You imagine that? Have access to a God that has mercy towards you and mercy towards the people that you're ministering to, mercy towards your marriage and your manhood and your womanhood and your children. And God says, come to me and ask what you need and I will give it to you. So let's bow our heads right now. Father, we need not just your presence today, but we need your word, God, to burrow down into our hearts today and plant seeds of eternal life. Father, that we would be carriers, Lord, of your presence and your message to the people that you have assigned for us to live with in this generation. We need eyes, Lord, to see the opportunity and to reach for you, Lord, and bring you to people. Father, I thank you that you're a God of healing and there's people that need healing. You're a God, Lord, of the supernatural and there's people, Lord, here that need a touch from you that no one else can bring. And Father, I'm praying that you'd bring it. You'd bring the kingdom today. I also pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself to us today through your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So I guess what I'm going to call the word today is the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. There's two words there that we can just hit quickly. Is if you're in fellowship right now, if you're in fellowship with the brothers and sisters at this church, that means that you're frequently meeting with them. Some of you are in ladies' groups. Some of you are in men's groups. You're watching movies together. You're doing life together. You're in the same boat. And so you're having fellowship with one another. And so what we're looking at this morning were the Apostle Paul, a revelation from heaven. How would you like to have a revelation from heaven? I mean, and God would show you things that absolutely agree with the Word of God, because you can't have a revelation of heaven that doesn't agree with the Bible. That's a false revelation. God's word is always a filter that we take it through. But God opened to this Jewish man who was stuck in a concept of religion. He was stuck in a concept of lighting candles, doing sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament. He was caught in, I have to perform and do the law and produce my own righteousness, to God opening up his eyes to what God had done through Jesus Christ, that God had totally satisfied all of the law and all the requirements to come to God by the blood of the only Son of God. And not only is it for the Jewish people, not only is it for the educated people or the religious people or what we would say the privileged people, but that mystery is that God in Christ died for every person on the planet and every generation. And so you will never meet anybody that God hasn't done some business for them. It's the mystery. Those people even that are driving you nuts, God died for them. And sometimes those are the people that God gives you the opportunity to bow low and to humble yourself and minister to people that are your enemies, because you were once the enemy of God, and God, when you were yet enemies, went and sought for you. And he says, listen, if I did that for you, would you do that for your enemies? Would you be like me for them? And so there's all kinds of different things going on in your life right now called the will of God, all around you, that if you begin to understand that you've been called out, you've been called as a reconciler, you've been called someone to represent Jesus, the mystery is that God is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory that you take to every person. It's not simply coming and hearing great sermons. It's not simply coming and singing the praises of God. It's that you are a gift to this community. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a gift. So my wife and I were just recently at a prophetic conference, and at that conference, one of the brothers that was speaking, he was sharing about, he was hanging out with this prophet that began to preach a sermon, and I don't know who the prophet is, it doesn't matter. The prophecy is what I'm talking about. And so the prophet begins to prophesy, and he says this: the Lord would say that the church is about to have a baby. And if the church does not get its head or its heart above its head, it might lose the baby. And then that was over. And the prophet stood there and he had no idea really what God was saying. And he just said, well, that was kind of strange. And he moved on rather than trying to explain it. But the next day, he got a call from the pastor. And the pastor said, Brother so-and-so, my daughter is about to have a baby. She's in the hospital, and I just got a call, and apparently the baby's in trouble. Would you please go with me to the hospital so that I could pray for my daughter? And it must have been in a third world country, because when they got there, they were in the delivery room or in the room where his daughter was going to have the baby, and all of a sudden the doctor rushed through and said, the baby is in distress, and if we don't get her heart above her head, the baby could die. And so the woman's there and she's great with child. She's got this big baby in front of her and she's in labor. And she says, well, how do I get my heart above my head? And so they said, get her out of the bed. So they got her out of the bed. Now, you folks aren't all going to be able to see me. I'll try to get as many. And they said, get down on your knees and now put your head on the floor. All of a sudden, the prophet understood what God was saying to the church. If the church does not get its heart above its head, it could lose the gift of God, or the baby of God, or the move of God. And to me, that means a great humility. Did you know that by nature, you're not humble? You're proud. In fact, even when you seem to do some good fasting and good praying, when start pressing in, all of a sudden your body says, wow, look at me. It's that nature that's there. And so God said, listen, church, listen, Americans, listen, you proud people, that if you don't get your heart above your head, you could actually lose what God wants to give you. Because it's the place of humility where you can begin to see the things of God, the things that are wrapped up in our own pride and our own success and our own worth, literally blind us to the things of God. But if we will humble ourselves, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Sometimes it's just good in worship. Sometimes it's just good when you're by yourself to just get down and put your head as far down as you can and bow yourself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and confess how wonderful He is. And say, Lord, without you, I would be doomed. So Paul starts, actually, what I'm going to talk about today. We're going to go in chapter 3, and I'm going to go to the back of the chapter first, and then I'm going to come to the front of the chapter. And he starts in chapter 14 chapter 3 of, in verse 14 of Ephesians, and he says this. Now first, let me go back a minute. Understand, this is Paul, who all his life tried to be right with God by the law and was always frustrated. He met Jesus Christ on the road. He got knocked down. God began to reveal himself to him apart from his own works and definite through the cross of Jesus Christ. Anybody love the cross? And he found in the cross, he finally found in the cross what he was searching for all of his life, which was to be right with God. And that's why he says in the Word, I will glory in nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. Because that made me right with God. And now he's standing in a position where the Bible tells us that he had a caught up experience where God took him to a place in heaven, I think the third heaven, and God showed him things that no man could show him. And so he's standing. You ever see, have a, read a good book, a wonderful knowledge book, or seen a great documentary on something, and he's full of all of this heaven language, and he's full of all this great eternal revelation of where we are going in God, and he's just overcome. In fact, I don't know how you write, but sometimes I write in a run-on sentence. You ever do that? He writes the book of Ephesians because he gets caught up over and over in the glory of God. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, he goes from verse 1 to verse 14 without stopping. It's just one breath of God, 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 look at what he has done. That's what I'm talking about, saints, about a revelation or a connection with God where he takes you to a different level that you can ever get with your intellect, with your heart, not your head. With your heart. The heart is your camp. I will give you, saith the Lord, a new heart. A heart that loves me, a heart that goes after me. And if you've been a Christian very long, or if you struggled with sin, you'll realize that even though God gives you a new heart, there's still that old heart that wants to live, that wants to dominate. And you've got to learn to grab a hold of the new heart and the new relationship and love that and enter into a relationship of covenant with God where you feed the new heart by the new man of what God has called you to. You will find God by pursuing God. Not by pursuing what you want, not by pursuing happiness. But when you pursue the will of God and you pursue God, you begin to, it's like onions, layers of God begins to come to you. I want you to know, I've been a Christian now for 40 years. Before I was a Christian, I couldn't even read second grade level. I was caught up in immorality. I was caught up in drugs. I was caught up in brokenness. I came from a family of 15. I was caught up in all kinds of insecurities. I was caught up in all kinds of fear. And I am nothing now without Christ. But I am a man that stands here after 40 years of God peeling off and peeling off and peeling off and giving me grace to seek Him even when I failed. And I can tell you, He's greater in my heart now than He was 40 years ago. He grows. Amen. So I'm trying to encourage you that there's much more that God wants for each one of you. And so he starts in verse 14, chapter 3, and he says, "For this reason," I just explained to you the reason, "all that God has done for me, all that God has shown me, all that God has got for us, because of that, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height." Listen to this verse. "To know the love of God which passes knowledge." The love of God is so much greater than any love that we ever can experience in this life. It passes every reference point that we ever had. I have found that God embarrasses me with how much He loves me. It's like all my sins are forgiven. It's like He's holding no grudges. Why do I have favor? Why do you have favor? It's because the love of God is rooted in what our sister shared. "For God so loved the world that He gave the love child, which is Jesus Christ, the sign of His love, that whoever would believe in that love, the crucified love, the laying down of your life love, the love that reaches for people who even spit at you. That's the love of God. For God so loved you and me, you can't comprehend what it cost Him." But turn to your neighbor and say, "He thinks you were worth it. Come on. There's some people in here that all of your life, the enemy of your life has told you that you're worthless. Maybe they've done it audibly, or maybe it's because of an accumulation of things that happened in your life, and you don't feel like you're worth anything. And God says, you want to know how much you're worth? I gave my only son for you. For you. For you. Not for the preacher. He gave it for me too. But not for somebody that you think, well, I can understand why God would save that person. And God would save that person. But God says, I gave it for you. I loved you. And I gave my son. For this cause. Because this is so over my head. I bow my knee to the Father in heaven. Lord, I cannot comprehend what you have done for me, what you have done for mankind. I just can't get my head around it. I need you to help me. I need you to show me and convince me. And he says, not only that, but I pray for my brothers and sisters that they could see it. You know, Jesus healed blind people, but everybody that doesn't know Christ is blind. Some of you can actually sing that song, I once was blind, but now I see. God healed people that could not walk. And some of you have had a hard walk in life. You've stumbled over many things. And Jesus comes to you and says, I want to heal you so that you can stand upright and that you can walk. Some of you have never been able to be taught. You can't hear. And Jesus says, I want to come and I want to open your ears to behold wonderful things that you cannot comprehend. Saints, I feel like I want to jump off the stage and do a somersault. It's so hard to control. It's so hard to control what God has done. It's like a rocket, you know. Sometimes I write notes, please don't blow up. Please don't shout too loud. But I can't help it because there's grace. It's not Dan, there's grace from heaven. This is a product that is in us now because of Jesus Christ. There's grace and there's power. Nothing that I've deserved at all. But that which was given to me and given to you. And when you do the will of God, that grace and that power, the on switch goes on. To know the love of God that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what I'm talking about. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Unto Him be glory in the church. Glory and honor and praise, O Lord, for what you've done. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I was, we'll get done sometime today. When I was in the Lord, I was a photographer until I was 50, and I once I got saved, every meeting we're in, we always prayed for the food, and we always worshiped, and we always talked around the things of God, and I got this job taking pictures at the New York State, what's the woman's pageant? What is that? Yeah, whatever. I couldn't hear it. And you know what I noticed? Great talent, great excitement. No anointing. There's a presence here in this place that's greater than the presence that's in Congress. Amen. Greater in the greatest show, Hello Dolly. Those things can excite you, they can entertain you, but the presence of God will change you. Amen. He said, you know, I want to be changed, and I want to be changed, and I want to be changed, and I want to be changed. And it says that when we behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed by that, when we behold Him, we are changed. So you want to know how to get changed? You need to learn how to behold Him. You need to learn to come to Him, to connect with Him the way He wants you to connect with Him, that He can change you. So that mystery is revealed. Jesus said one time when He was preaching, He got done with a sermon, and you know, this happens almost every Sunday. I've shared this with you before, that you know, when He'd get done with a sermon, the apostles would ask Him, "What the heck were you talking about?" And He, one time He said this, "It's for you to know the mysteries. But to those that are outside of the kingdom, they won't ever understand." That's why people don't understand us. They don't understand why we're lifting our hands. They do it at the football game all the time and dress up like weirdos, and they can't understand when we start getting all excited about something that they can't even sense. But I can sense it! I can feel it. Something's happened in our spirit. My spirit's no longer dead. Hallelujah. Amen. I plumb forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I know what I'm saying. Jesus said, when His people asked Him, "Lord, what were you talking about in the sermon today?" He said, "I want you to know, it's for you." Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's talking about you." Come on. Okay, come back up here. You want to know what this sermon's about? It's for you to know and for them to find out. So if I believe that, I'll say, "Lord, what were you talking about?" And wait until, and meditate, and keep watching the email until it comes in, watching the text until it comes in, until God begins to, you know, when you are hungry, it pulls God to your heart. Jesus said, "It's for you to know the mysteries." And so, if you're not hearing, maybe you just need to go and keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. Then He says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, we start, Paul's talking about this whole thing, and he's laying it out. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God." Would you say grace of God? In other words, God has given grace to Paul for a reason, which was given to me. That grace was given to me for you. If you see grace on my life today, I want you to know it was given for me, but God's grace was given me today for you. You've got a great pastor here. You know why you've got a great pastor? Because God gave him to you. He's got grace on his life because God has made him to be a gift and a wiretap, if you will, of the grace of God to come to you. He feeds you from the Word of God, that you might understand the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read it, you will understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So what is He talking about? Right, verse 5. "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets." Here's the mystery. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of His power." When God gives a revelation, the word revelation means that something is hidden, there's something over it, and you can't see my fist. So revelation means something that I can't see because it's covered. God comes and pulls the cover off, and now you not only see my fist, but you can see I'm married. You start seeing more things about my fist. So Paul said this thing was hidden in the heart of God. Not even the angels, I believe, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'll share another scripture later on. Not even the angels knew exactly what was going on. God's a great secret keeper. But when Christ came forth, God caught Peter, all up, the apostles and the prophets, and he began to reveal his heart, and that was a mystery that God was giving to Paul to give to you and I so that we could take that mystery to the whole world, which is God is trying to reconcile Watertown. God is trying to reconcile all of your friends and your relatives to himself through one man, through one body, and that body is the body of Christ. I find today when I witness to people, if I talk to them about God, generic God, they don't get nervous. But when I start mentioning the name of Jesus, all of a sudden they're looking over their shoulder. I hope nobody's listening to this because he's talking. All the demons are starting to pop up. They're starting to jump all over because the name of Jesus is the name that has been assigned to mankind by which nobody can be saved unless you deal not with just God the Father, but God the Son. Are you dealing with Jesus? Are you friendly with him that died for your sins? He's the key. He's the mystery. A rhema word. I'm guessing you guys know the difference between a rhema word and a logos word. A rhema word is when you open the Bible and you say things like, I never saw that before. Or you're praying about something and maybe somebody will come up to you and they'll quote a scripture to you or quote a principle of scripture to you and it will be like a personal email to you. That's a rhema word. That's what Paul's talking about. I got a rhema word from God of the call of God to this area, the mystery. Then in verse 8 of chapter 3, to me, who am least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's a dangerous thing to be in front of people. In fact, I was talking to a prophet on my vacation, and one of the things he was saying to me, and it was a rhema word to me, that fame, even in the gospel, has ruined many people. Because we think we're kind of like the donkey that Jesus is riding into Jerusalem and everybody's hollering and cheering and the donkey thinks they're cheering for him. And so what happens, Paul says, to me. Now we glorify Paul, St. Paul. But he was really looked down at. He was persecuted in his day. He was not recognized. But he recognized himself. He said, to me, I am nothing. And he meant. He actually said this, and I beg to differ with you, Paul, and I've said this sometimes, not that I'm talking to Paul, but I'm the worst sinner ever. And I'd say, well, Paul, I beg to differ with you. Because I think the truth is, the Holy Spirit wants you to see your sin as being so horrible that you can't understand how God could ever forgive you. And when you see your sin that way, it helps to deal with that pride in you, always. But he said to me, I break the power of nothingism over this place right now in the name of Jesus. People that would think they're nothing, when they're nothing without Christ, but God says to me, who am nothing, he has given me the opportunity to speak to people about the unsearchable riches of Christ. I like that. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, for the reason that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, according to eternal purposes which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we all have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, I was reading this the other night, and I said to myself, who talks like that? He's using language that we don't quite understand here sometimes in Watertown. Anybody know what Soffit is? A couple carpenters? There's three people. What's a common thing is on most of your homes. It's the fascia is the trim. I call it the earrings of your house. And the soffit is that underside vent. But I say that because if you're not a carpenter and you're not in that field, you don't understand those words. I've already told you that your kings and your priest, there's a whole language. There's heavenly languages. There's angelic languages. There's covenantal languages. There's things like redemption. There's about the blood of Christ. There's about the cross of Christ. There's about the riches of His glory. There's about the kindness of God. It's about the mercy of God. All of which we know the words from dictionaries, but do we know them by who we are in Christ Jesus? Do you know about the mercy of God in your own life? Do you know about the kindness of God in your own life? Do you know about the love of God in your own life? When you begin to study, when you begin to press into the heart of God, see, sometimes you don't know what the password is. You know, when you go on your computer, you have a password and you don't know how to get into that file. But when you press the heart of God, Paul actually says, you start getting access. You start getting bold. The devil wants to intimidate and keep you in fear. But once you understand what the blood... Is anybody excited about Jesus in here? When you understand... Again, if you're still caught up with brown-nosing God, where you think you have to get good enough, God did it in Christ. That doesn't mean you just live like the devil. No, you live in faith now. You live in faith of everything that God has said. And you walk, I walked in it in 40 years, and I still consider myself a baby Christian. But there's some of you that don't understand when I talk about the goodness of God. I texted a brother this morning, and I said, you know, the compass of God that always points north is very true. It always points, the compass that you can trust in, no matter what you're going through, is God always good. Don't matter if it's a good day or a bad day, the compass always says the same thing. You might not understand. God is always good. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is always good. Now, here's a real cool thing that's in that scripture, guys. Here's a really cool thing that was in that scripture that God's been just talking to me about. It says that Paul said, God hid this thing to principalities and powers in heavenly places. That the manifest power and wisdom, and I'm going to say salvation of God, would be known to the church. Who's the church? We know more than the angels know, because the angels never have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mankind, the angels are they're just baffled. What are you doing with this dirt pile called man? Why did you send, not an angel, why did you send your son? Why did you write this whole covenant? And so it says that when this revelation was broke forth, you know, it's kind of like all of a sudden in heaven, this big buzzer got hit. All the promises of a God are being censored by the church on earth. Get moving, angels. What did they say? I'm having fun with you guys. What did they say when Daniel prayed? Remember in the Old Testament, He said, Daniel, when you opened your mouth, Michael was released. The Bible says, and I don't ever want you worshiping or praying to angels. That's not what I'm talking about. But the Bible says that angels were created to be ministers of us who are heirs of eternal life. Kind of move right, that you're going to punch some angels. The Bible says we are encompassed about with angels. I don't know if you ever sing that song. We sing this song in our church. You might think that I thought I was surrounded. How's that go, honey? It goes something like this. I may think that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I may think that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And that's a reference to when God revealed to the prophet in Elijah in the Old Testament, where the man of God who was seeing in the natural, the servant, he said, we are surrounded by the enemy. And the prophet says, no, we're not. God, open his eyes and let's see who's surrounded. Woo! Some of you think you're surrounded by the enemy, but you are surrounded by the promises of God. I used to think that thou hast compassed me about with psalms of the deliverance and caused me to overcome. I'm surrounded by the goodness of God. I'm surrounded by the will of God. I'm surrounded by the blood of God. It's on the doorpost of my heart. The enemy of death cannot come on me. I'm surrounded by the favor of God. I'm protected by the name of God. And the enemy thinks I'm surrounded. See, he tries to convince you. So when we pray, Lord, sometimes you should just sit down and think. You know, my oldest daughter loved Winnie the Pooh. And you know who Winnie the Pooh is? That big yellow bear. And he would get there and he'd go, think, 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 think. I think sometimes you just should sit down and look at your situation where the enemy says that you're surrounded and say, Lord, what would you say about this? What promise do I need that I would like to send up to principalities and powers? And it says, in heavenly places. And I checked this morning in Revelation chapter 12. The devil was cast out of hell, out of heaven, and it says, and there was no place found for him anymore in heaven. So it's not talking about dark principalities and powers. It's talking about principalities and powers and heavenly places that God has set in place to help us with the warfare. I'm just fascinated by that. Isn't that cool, sister? I'm fascinated that when I pray, heaven moves. Turn to your neighbor and say, when I pray. Some of you aren't doing it. You're going to have to do it. When I pray, heaven moves. You know, Paul understood this, saints, that when he went out and ministered, and this Jeff needs to understand this, and you need to understand this, that when you go out to minister, when I go out to minister, whoever's going out to minister, that Paul said, I know that I'm going to do a good job today because of the grace of God that has been given to me. And when I step in the will of God, the grace of God is going to come to me and the power of God is going to come to me. But it's also going to come to me because you guys have been praying for me. And when you pray for me, you supply me with the Spirit. So when you pray for Pastor Jeff, or you pray for the guest ministry, or you pray the ministries in the church, you're saying, Father, I pray right now. It's kind of like a bucket brigade. Lord, I pass the grace. I pass the power. I'm believing God for the women's group. I'm believing God for the men's group. I'm believing for my pastor, Lord. I'm praying that you would give him, he would become like a machine gun of rhema words. I mean, he would just bang people by being so accurate, and he'd talk to people about their situations. You know, the miracle of preaching is I can talk about this and it doesn't matter what you're going through, God puts it on your wound. Come on. Oh, that's not my topic. Oh, yes, it is. God always. I mean, listen to some of the politicians speaks. Does that happen when they talk? Or sit in any class, does that happen when they talk? But when you're under this word, it's living. It's powerful. It is powerful. It cuts right down through the bone and it divides your natural man from your spiritual man. It stops the nonsense and gets right in your face. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's right in my face. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. I'm just about done with my opening. The last thing, actually, this is the last point I'm going to nail is. So we've already seen in this the fellowship of the mystery. The first part is what is the mystery revealed? The second part is the purpose of the mystery, which is Christ is going to be the name by which everybody can have access to God, and it's our message to every person we ever meet. And the last part is the empowerment of the mystery. It's a fun thing to be in the presence of God. It's an awesome thing. But just let's go back to verse 14, because this is really where I want to bang a little bit. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I see so much hurt, when I see so much pain, we can blame one another. We can blame the pastor. We can blame the organization called the church. But Paul understood none of those people can do anything apart from getting their heart above their head, bowing very low, and say, Father, you see the brokenness. You see the pain and the betrayal and the results of sin in this earth. And you've made known to me that I'm called to be part of the salt solution, the light solution, the voice solution. I'm not to be part of the problem anymore. How can I ever be the solution? Father, show me what to do. Connect me with your grace. Help me feel the way you feel. Forgive me of my sins. I bow before you. You are my God. You are my deity. I can't do this without you. I'm crying out, oh God, have mercy. Have mercy. How many think Paul was successful? You have access to the same God. If you're fortunate enough, you have two knees to kneel down. You have the same invitation and the same revelation of the mystery. And here's a secret I'm finding, saints. It's connected with what we call the will of God. The will of God is not something, saints, that we have to search through the fog and try to find. I have something in my phone, I call it today, and I wrote these scriptures to help me remember that Jesus said, I always do the things that I see my Father doing. When he was witnessing to the woman at Samaria, he said, when they came and asked him if he was hungry, he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. In the Old Testament, it says, sacrifices and offerings, that's not what you wanted, but a body you have prepared for me. Behold, I come to do thy will, O God. You want to have the biggest thrill in your life? Do the will of God. It's not something that you have to hunt down. You know, you don't have to go to every door in this, you don't have to take it into your own hands. There's people you meet all the time. And if you're just sensitive to the fact that, God, you showed me what the mystery is, that's flesh and blood, how do you want me to go forward in this situation? Some, look in this room, there's 150 people in here. I can't touch every one of you, but there's certain people like this sister I see, and this sister I see, and I see you, I see Don's hand. There's certain ones that God is pointing out, and I can have a word or I can have a touch. And if I can get five, and then maybe God gives you five, and then somebody else God gives 10, there's somebody, you know. How many people were in the chain that finally wrapped you up in Christ? How many people came to you, brother, before you ever gave your life to Jesus? People that you know about, people that you don't know about. every one of you are a carrier. It says, after David had served his generation by the will of God, every day I meet people, coincidentally, casually, and I'm just curious, what wonder what God's going to do with this. I had to pick up a load of lumber this week, and you're not getting out of here till I'm done. Jesus is still with us, so I'm going to keep going. I go to the air pump. Jesus went to the well, so I went to the air pump. And I had to put air in my tires because I was going to have a heavy load of lumber taken to my house. And as I'm leaving, about to back out, there's a woman in the car right next to me. And she goes, are you backing out? Because I was in the way. And I said, yeah. And as I backed out, I won't say the Holy Spirit. I just thought, I'm just looking for opportunities. Amen. I just got all my guns loaded, just waiting to get somebody for Jesus. I'm filled with this mystery. I'm filled with this mission. I'm filled. Lo, I come to do thy will. You've prepared a body for me. You've given me steps. You've given me a life. You've placed me in a community. I've got all these people that are ready to receive. Let's go. Yeah. That's not a good moment, okay? So she's pulling out, and I felt like I'm going to pull back in, and I'm going to offer to put air in her tire. And you would have thought I was an angel from God. And I said, can I put air in your tires for you? She said, that would be so nice. I said, I'm putting them in. I said, you know, I just want to do something to bless people every day I could. And she looked at me again like it was a rhema word. And I said, I'm a Christian. And is there anything I can pray for you about? And she went in her car and she pulled out this letter. Nice girl, I don't know her from anywhere. And apparently she had been through a battered marriage. And sometimes when you're in a battered marriage, you've got people that are trying to mess up your name. And one of the grandmothers wrote a letter to her employer, and she was on probation until this thing's been investigated that she's an evil person. And she's just, you know, I try to be nice to people. And she says, I can't believe that you came to bless me today. The will of God, putting air in a tire in the name of Jesus. Gets practical. The other day I was preparing this sermon, and I worked until probably about noon on it, and then I had to go out and do some other work, and I was putting my boots on, and I'm at my house, and a government worker pulls in. And I just got praying, Lord, I want you to interrupt my sermons with power. I want you just to mess up. Right? I don't even want to get to the end. Remember in Acts chapter 10? Peter couldn't even get to the end of the sermon before God poured out his power. And I said, I want that to happen to me. And so I get in the garage. She comes in, and part of my community there. And I said, how are you doing? She says, I'm doing good. And I said, no, because it's a great thing to be able to pray for people. I said, no, how are you really doing? And I said, you know I'm a pastor. She said, yeah, I know. I said, listen, I want you to know if there's anything you ever need us to pray about, my wife and I to pray about, we are here for you. And she was, again, all of a sudden something's touching her. She doesn't know what it is. And she said, you know, my grandmother used to be a Christian, and she used to pray for people, and she would pray these words that we couldn't understand. She's praying for people in the spirit. And we never understood. It's not murmuring and gibberish to us. And I said, really? I said, you know, there's a story in the Bible of a man named Paul who had a son in the faith. His name was Timothy. And he said, Timothy, I admire and see the faith that's in you. But, you know, I first saw it in your mom. And actually, even before that, I saw it in your grandmother. And I said, you know, your grandma prayed for you. And there's a great legacy of faith that God wants to give you. And she literally, the power of God just hit her, and she just put her hands on her head, and she ran out of my garage weeping. So I got up with my really tattered steel-toed shoes that are anointed by God, and I followed her to the car, and I said, "You know, it's great that your mom knew Jesus, but that won't help you. You must receive Him yourself. Would you like to receive Jesus into your heart right now?" You know what she said? "I think I really need to." And she gave her heart to Jesus right then. Now, does that mean that I'm a great witnesser? Or I could tell you stories where I screwed up everything doctrinally you could imagine and people still got saved. It has nothing to do with you. It's when you step in and you do the will of God, the power gets kicked on. The Spirit of the Lord, even Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good news." So when He preached the good news, the Spirit of the Lord that's upon Him kicks in. And when you stop doing your own will and stop acting like you used to, and you start acting like a kid's kid, and you begin to pray for people, and you begin to reach out to people, grace begins to come to your life, and grace is irresistible. I can't guarantee they'll always get saved. I talked to a person that was in a very compromising lifestyle, if you understand what I'm saying, and I knew I would not be able to take them to the mat, but I also knew that there was many links in the chain before I got saved. And so I did what I could. I shared what I could, knowing that God is going to be faithful sometime. And I actually told the person, "This is going to come back to you later on in your life. And I want you to remember that God's trying to talk to you." Blessed be the Lord. I said, "Blessed be the Lord." If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, it says today, after so long of a time, if you would hear my voice and not harden your heart. If God is knocking on your door today and you're saying, "I'll wait till tomorrow," as soon as you do that, your heart becomes hard. But today, if you'd hear His voice, He will come to you. I believe there's people here this morning that love this church and love these people. And they love God, but God says, I believe I want to do something in your spirit much, much deeper than you ever thought. We call it being born again of the Spirit of God. I want to touch you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. I'm going to ask you just to stand up where you are, if that's you this morning. There you go. Just stand up. There's always more. Maybe you didn't hear me. There you go. Today, if you would hear my voice today, don't wait for tomorrow. The journey can start today. There's some of you that really need a miracle. You're in a place of agony that there's no doctor, there's no preacher, there's no prayer that can change that situation. You're going to need God. If you're in that place of agony to say, "I want you to stand up right now," what you're saying is, "God, I bow, I get my head below my heart, and I humble myself and say, I need you." I don't want you to miss the opportunity. Today, harden not your heart. Humble yourself and say, "Lord, I need you." Probably one of the worst things ever is to know a lot about God and have a reputation in God, so much so that you can't say, I'm in trouble. Okay, so the rest of you guys are sitting. You're kings and priests. I would like you to stand up and put your hands on those people right now. Try to touch with somebody in this place. I love to prophesy, and I'm going to prophesy echo of what Jesus prophesied in one service. He got up in the middle of the service and he said this. This is Jesus. Red letter stuff. If anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me. And as the Scripture said, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. He said to the woman, the Samaritan woman, if you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again, but it will be a river that will be an artesian well that will spring up inside of you, bringing eternal life. So as I touch, and we touch right now, Father, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit river, we disagree with me now, guys, pray in the Spirit, pray in English. Father, let the Holy Spirit now begin to flow to every need, right, God, bringing salvation and healing, oh God, breaking the back of the enemy. Father, we thank you. The mystery is that everyone would have victory and have healing and would have strength, Lord. Pour it through us, Lord, right now. I even pray, God, just let that river flow, 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 flow. Lord Jesus. Lord, that it would flow. It would flow. It would flow. Jesus. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for who you are. I'll share one last thing, okay, saints? You can let go of each other if you want to. I had a dream. The reason I did that, I had a dream one night. And I called out some healings and a couple people got healed. And then I came to the front and I just put my hands like this and I said, Father, let your river flow. And what I began to hear was, I'm healed. I'm saved. I can see. I'm free. And the Lord just showed me there's a connection we have with one another when we pray for one another. As we reach for one another, can you imagine? We sang about it. The river of God is teeming with life. Da 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 da. You know, there's dead water and there's living water. We have a lot of acid rain, kills everything in the water. The water that Jesus gives is teeming with life. God bless you, sister, for coming today. Amen. God bless you, sister, for coming.